Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
This podcast is sponsored by Cloud Optimizer.
As a business owner or IT manager, are your cloud investment costs going up and you don't know why? It's time for Cloud Optimizer. As you migrate your business to the cloud, what you're spending and why you're spending it can get a little hazy. But Cloud Optimizer clears up the mystery and puts the cloud to work for you. Cloud Optimizer starts by analyzing usage patterns, right-sizing resources, leveraging discounts you may not be aware of, implementing automation, and much more. And by reducing unnecessary expenses and maximizing performance, Cloud Optimizer guarantees you a savings of 5 times what you spend for their service. As you utilize cloud-based services more and more, you don't have to lose sight or control of your spend. You can stay agile, streamline your costs, and optimize your performance, plus save significant money with Cloud Optimizer.
Make the cloud work for you with Cloud Optimizer. Get a free assessment and find out how much you can save by going to cloudoptimizer.com. Go to cloudoptimizer.com for your free assessment. That's cloudoptimizer.com.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello there!
Whoa, hey, here we go, sorry.
Hello.
Daddy's home. Daddy's
hello.
Home.
Hey, hello, the internet, and welcome to season 26, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
For April 10th, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Here Comes the Men in Jack, Galaxy Defenders. That was courtesy of Walter Chestnut Jr.
Oh, love his dad.
18th century gunslinger, based on that name. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Gray man. Fighter of the night, man.
Thank you so much to Christopher Dean for that Always Sunny reference. One of my favorite things about that show. So you put it together, you unlock the Matrix, and shout out to you, Christopher Dean. CJ Dean 1120 at Twitter.
Your references stopped making sense to me a long time ago, man.
Yeah, well, I'm saying, once I get this cold brew in me, you know, say a lot of people demand it. After
we're flying. We got a, what's the opposite of a slow news day? A quick news day?
Quick news
day. Got a quick
day.
News day today, baby.
With illustrious
gotta
guests,
stay on top
as they
of
say.
It. And we've got our illustrious guest, like Miles was saying, brilliant host of the Stuff Mom Never Told You podcast. She is Bridget Todd.
Hey.
What
thanks for
is
having
up?
Me.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
AKA Kick It, Kick It. Yeah, that's that Bridget.
Thank you.
From Coolio's Fantastic Voyage.
I demanded a nickname. I'm a diva, and I demanded to have a personalized
it was
nickname.
Quick. It was quick. Good. I had to come back with something, and I did.
Thank you, Miles.
You are very welcome.
Bridget, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Something from my search history that is revealing about who I am is the question, are ponies baby horses? You might be thinking, of course ponies are baby horses. I did not know this. Ponies and horses are different.
No.
I know.
Different animals.
They're different animals.
The fuck is a pony? Like a little horse?
Yeah.
It's like
horse.
A mini horse. I know. This blew my mind. A friend told me this. I could not believe it. I did some late night searching to make sure it was true, and it's true.
So what's like a little baby horse called? Like a horseling?
I think it's a foal.
Oh. Foal. See, those words always come up. Like a gelding.
Yeah.
I didn't know that word until recently.
I think it's
isn't
a
that a gelding?
Foal, like I was Alex Trebek correcting a contestant who was wrong. I believe that's a foal. full, Miles.
A gelding is a castrated male horse, yes.
Yes.
So ponies.
Wait, look who knows horse words.
Hey, well, look, I'm telling you, you know, I had some friends who fucked around with the equestrian culture, you know what I mean? So I picked up a few things here and there.
Mm. Ponies, I knew were a different species because they are assholes. And if you've ever, like, been around ponies, the people are like, just keep your fucking hands away from their face. They will
really?
Bite you. Ponies are dicks. Yeah.
Wait, why are they the
most
thing that's...
Most horse-like animals are, like, zebras are real assholes,
oh, yeah.
too.
Donkeys.
Like, yeah, donkeys.
They'll throw your ass
yeah.
off of them.
Horses are just this lovely... creature, and then all the ones that look like horses.
So they're the only ones giving
the fuck away.
Equine world a good name.
Yes.
Correct. Okay. Although I have seen a really interesting video of a horse biting a guy. He tries to pet him, and
yeah.
he bites him.
Horses will do that shit, too. Horses will kill you. Bridget, what is something wow. that you think is underrated?
Something that I think, I have mine kind of blended together, if that's okay. Because I am a big food person, all I okay. do is eat. They're
yes.
both food related.
All I do is eat, 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 no
all
matter
I do
what.
Is, yes. That song is about me. If mm-hmm. you replace eating with power,
win. With yeah.
win. I do both. Actually, yeah. mostly just eat.
Okay.
Underrated, waffles. Okay. Overrated, pancakes.
Wow. Okay.
Pancakes Whoa, okay. actually suck. When you go to a restaurant, I have a lot of theories about this. When you go to a restaurant and you order
oh,
pancakes.
Gotcha. Triggered.
Listen, don't if you're not ready for the truth, that's fine,
yeah,
but
yeah.
we're going to
hey,
get into it.
But ain't that the truth, Ruth?
Yes. So when you go to a restaurant and you order pancakes, what you actually want is waffles or French toast, because what you're thinking you're gonna get is those crispy like pancakes that your mom made at home on the stove. But when you go to a diner, what you're gonna get is those like fluffy pieces of bread. When you put syrup on it, it's gonna get really nasty and soggy. You don't want that. What you actually want is waffles. So overrated is pancakes. Don't get pancakes at a diner.
And now I noticed you are wearing an Eggo t-shirt. Oh, your whole outfit is Eggos. Now, you're not sponsored
oh, yes,
by them.
Oh, yes. I'm sponsored by Eggo.
Oh, so you're okay. here representing. You're here lobbying for Big Waffle.
Did you not see my waffle shoes?
Oh. Okay, yep. You're wearing the Nike Cortezes with the waffle sole. Shout out to them. First of their kind. But I guess, you know, the good kind of pancakes are Japanese pancakes.
Ooh, tell me more.
That are thick as fuck. They look like they give respect to the name pancake.
Mm.
And they are so delicious, juicy, and fluffy. Let me pull up a picture.
Yeah,
so
I'm
you
a,
can
a,
see.
Let me see this.
Super producer Anna Hosey a few weeks ago was trying to make them.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Look at that. That is not a game. That pancake
so
is
thick.
Not
They
a game.
Almost look like biscuits.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the way they're flavored, I don't know what they put
it's
into
so
them.
It's so thick.
But, and you can also buy the mix too, so you can't fuck it up at your house.
Mm.
But that is the kind of pancake I like. Personally, breakfast person, I'm a savory guy.
Right. Oh, so you don't fuck with like.
Nope.
You're not putting lots of syrup on
nope.
it.
I'm straight. I love the sweetness.
Yeah. I like For I sure. actually will fuck with like sweet savory, like a griddle cake where it's like sausage mm-hmm. and then a pancake.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. McDonald's griddle mm-hmm. cakes.
McGriddles.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, okay.
McGriddles are the best.
They are the best.
As Jackie so, Sneal has always said.
What are pancakes called in Japanese?
Pancake.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if there's
Oh my god, yeah. look at this
there's,
thing.
There's a great scene in Inherent Vice where Josh Brolin's character is ordering pancakes at a Japanese restaurant. I'm sure it's on
Wait,
YouTube.
Does he say something different?
I think he says pancake ooh. He might be off there.
Cakey is how you say
pancake-y.
Cake. So I don't know where the fuck he's getting his romanized version of Japanese words. Anyway.
Mm. So is that your underrated and overrated?
Well, I have a specific overrated.
Okay. Let's
small
hear
plates.
Small plates you, are overrated.
They're so overrated. You ever go to like small plate restaurants where
tapas?
Oh yeah,
I
as I call
it.
Them tapas.
Oh, I fucking yeah. hate it.
Goes to Spain once.
Yeah, right. I think it's fine if you're like in Spain or they're doing it right. But where I'm from, a lot of times it'll be, you know, let's all get small things and share. And
yeah.
then it's $75 later, and you had two bites of food. I mm-hmm. cannot stand it. Everyone knows me like. Do not take me to a small plate restaurant. I will complain the entire time and like drown the room in negative vibes.
You know what else I hate is that like you have to make so many decisions at a small plate restaurant, and it's just like you never have an idea of how much is too much food.
Yeah.
I just basically order everything.
Right.
And then I go look at the waiter, and when they start looking crazy at me, I'm like, oh, is that too much?
You have to get a good waiter to know
yeah.
that.
Because
right,
a lot
right.
of times they will
oversell
you
yeah.
and then be like, oh, man, you guys yeah. not hungry or something?
Oh, these three extra plates of foie gras, I'm going to eat themselves.
Right.
Not that, you know, I'm eating that good all the time.
I know. Like, what is your life?
Foie gras, damn. Yeah, yeah. Three plates?
I'm limping because Ooh. Of a knee injury, not because of gout.
Right.
But like,
yeah, yeah.
no, I don't just, have you been to Animal here in LA?
I've not.
See, that's a place that you would have to order numerous plates.
Okay.
But it's delicious. Now, I think there's small plate restaurants, you probably don't want to eat a small plate restaurant with more than three people.
Yes.
Because that's when one plate ends up being like, well,
I
had a fork of that hamachi crudo.
Right. Yeah. I don't like it. I'm with Bridget.
Yeah, I don't like it at all.
Yeah, so everybody, you know what? Fuck it. Everybody's go to Cracker Barrel.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I'm actually down with that.
Go to Claim Jumpers and, you know, blow your gut out.
Yeah. John and Vinny's, an Italian restaurant that's around the same place, is owned by the same people.
Yeah, on Fairfax.
So that's a good kind of combination, because you order, like, you have four people, you order five things. And they're big enough to serve you. It's just the food's so good that you'll
just eat everything.
I could get behind that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look, we're going to have to do
underrated Italian food, guys. Have you heard about this stuff?
Have you had this stuff?
Have you seen this stuff?
You guys seen this? You guys
heard this? Bridget, what is a myth? What's something that people think is true that you know to be false?
That Yoko Ono broke up the Beatles.
Yeah. Fuck that.
That is a big pet peeve of mine. People
it was
think
Linda
that.
Linda McCartney. No.
Always a woman's fault, of
right.
course.
Must be, right?
You know, I'm a feminist.
Which
podcast
woman was
host.
It? Yeah. No, so who broke it up?
I would say nobody. I think overall my myth is that the idea that Yoko Ono was this, like, hanger-on, shitty artist, and that she was bad for John Lennon and bad for the Beatles. Actually, she's more talented than John Lennon. And John Lennon, I think, if he was still alive, would actually be kind of annoying. He would not be, like, this, like, cool person, this cool radical dude. The person who is filling that role right now, Yoko Ono. So people talk trash about her all the time. She's a fabulous artist.
Especially
She's
in
a-
Japan.
Really?
Yeah, they're kind of like...
They don't like her? Fan.
Like, cool out, mom.
I mean, she's not for everybody, right?
No,
so
no,
I get
no.
it. I get
not
it.
That, like, she has a negative image there, but, like, people are kind of like, okay, Yoko.
If you could compare, like, Yoko Ono is the blank of America. Like, is she the Taylor Swift of America, of Japan?
Or,
like,
far.
Everyone is sort of like, we get it.
No, because she spent so much time out of Japan, too, that, like, she's not that, I don't know. I'm not going to speak for in the entire nation, but based on how, like, I've observed how the media covers her, how my, like, mom and, like, my family in Japan reacts to her, it's just sort of like, oh, that's Yoko Ono. It's never like, you know, they're not being, like exalting
her.
Right. It's like, Yoko Ono.
Interesting.
Yeah. Those dudes hated each other for a long time. Like,
yeah.
And I can't imagine, like, spending a little bit of time studying 70s, late 70s culture, and, like, I can't imagine that there wasn't a tiny bit of racism mixed up with people being like, it was her. It was the one
right.
non-white person
Yellow
who's
fever.
Associated with the
yeah, right,
with
right.
the band. Yeah, man.
That's sad that you say that, because, you know, I was using that as part of my Japanese pride. I was like, well, you know, we broke up the Beatles.
It was like a secret
and
way.
Now
of
I don't have that.
Yeah.
Cultural warfare.
Sorry to take exactly. that away from you.
Wait, and you, okay, now this is a hot take you just said earlier that we just glossed over, and I know many people who probably listen to this were triggered when you said that if John Lennon were around today, you're saying his genius or his ability is not on the level of Yoko Ono?
I would say.
And I'm not a.
This is a hot take.
I'm not a Beatles stan or
this
anything.
Is a hot
I just
take.
Don't. I just want to know.
I think that people exalt him in a too much. I think if John Lennon were alive today, he'd be fine, but kind of irrelevant. We wouldn't be looking to him as a source of, like, political, you know, enlightenment the way that I think that people think we would.
So,
like, I think that if Kurt Cobain were alive today, he'd be really irrelevant. I think that when people die too soon, people like mythologize how great they are. And I think if they actually were around, we would be like, oh, he's fine, but we wouldn't be looking to them as, like, a source of you know, political and social, you know, enlightenment.
Yeah. I mean, case in point, look at DMX.
Exactly, you know I mean? Exactly.
The John Lennon of
Hip-hop.
The modern age, just
in
general. I
mean, speak for yourself, because I definitely look to DMX for
I do not,
my
I mean, he's
source
having, he's
of my
some legal
spiritual
trouble.
Inspiration.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
wisdom.
Don't we all?
Yeah, I mean, look at Paul McCartney. Like, he certainly gets a lot of credit for being a great songwriter, but he also, you know, looks like he's just like a kind of an awkward dude. Like, I don't think he's like,
yeah, well, I think
people aren't like, oh, he's so cool. Whereas if he had died when people started the Paul is dead conspiracy theory, he would be the fucking legend in rock and roll.
Would he be
music.
Bigger than John Lennon if he had died early?
That's
and John 11 was and John 11.
I like John 11.
John 11 is just my favorite Bible verse. And John Lennon was still alive?
Yeah.
Yeah, he would be.
Or what if they both died at the same time?
Who would be more
murder suicide? I think it would be probably
like tragic plane crash. They both died at the same time, and then would people be going? Or how about this? John Lennon dies first, and then 8 months later, Paul McCartney dies.
Is he assassinated?
Sure. Same death style.
Ooh, that's a really good question.
Now, would people still both be like, ooh, who was the, would they be like, oh,
I think they would be viewed as like,
it'd be a push?
The same.
Yes,
yeah, it would
I
be
agree.
The same.
Because they were, you know, Lennon and McCartney. So I guess if they died together, then they're
In the same way that they were great songwriters together and apart, maybe not such great songwriters. Yeah, I think that's how we'd view it.
Yeah, solo Paul McCartney, not so hot.
No.
Yeah, I love that Christmas song, though.
John Lennon wrote
it. Oh, God. Wait, how does it go?
Have yourself a wonderful...
Oh, my God. John Lennon's Christmas song is so good. The It's Christmas, like, War is Over or whatever.
Yeah,
the fuck.
Happy Christmas.
Did he write that with Yoko Ono?
He did.
Yeah.
They were.
He wrote some good songs.
Yeah.
I don't know,
they
man.
Were really...
Ooh. He wrote some good songs with Yoko Ono.
Absolutely.
Like Happy Christmas, War is Over, and so...
Also, Yoko Ono was a very talented, like, visual artist before they even ever met. So she was already, like...
Yeah, she was on her grizzly.
Yeah, people talk act like she was, like, a hanger-on, but she was already...
She was very progressive. She was just, like, they were having troubles relationship-wise, and she was like, all right, go to L.A. and, like, just... sleep with all these other people for a couple months and then like we'll get back together. And he was very problematic. Like he had some
he got around
unfortunate behavior in terms of, you know, how he treated women. So all right. There's too much news to talk about to
just get locked
in. Relitigate the Beatles. we're trying to take a sample of the global shared consciousness, or at least the national shared consciousness, what people are thinking and talking about right now, today, at the moment we record it. As we touched on in the third act yesterday, Michael Cohen, President Trump's attorney, body, bag man, his offices were raided. And all hell broke loose, you guys.
It all came down. It's all coming down.
Right.
I think. I don't know, because we constantly live in a world where we're like, hey, man, here we go. This is the one.
Right.
And then, you know, who knows? But this is definitely much different because this isn't like the Mueller investigation proper. Robert Mueller found some shit that he thought was criminal. So he told Rod Rosenstein, he's like, this might fall out of the scope of my investigation, but I'm gonna let y'all know that I think I found evidence of a crime. And then Rod Rosenstein had to refer that to the U.S. attorney in the Southern District of New York, which is like one of the most like respected.
Yes.
These lawyers are like, they don't fuck around. They are career, like very professional attorneys. So they can't paint this office as anything but a stand-up office upholding the law.
Was one of the people who approved the raid a Trump appointee?
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
And a max out donor to the Trump campaign. So it's hard to paint him with the partisan brush.
Well, that's what they're fucking doing.
Right.
I mean, like a normal person would say that.
Yeah.
But still, our own president.
Yeah. What's sad is like, you know, with other times they would point at like, oh, these people donated to like Hillary Clinton in years past or whatever. And like this guy literally gave all the money he legally could to Donald Trump's campaign.
Right.
You know what I mean? This guy, Jeffrey Berman. So I guess what makes this really crazy is, you know, Michael Cohen is like Trump's fixer. He's like his personal lawyer, but he's been the one who does like handles the people who have like, you know, has to sign NDAs for affairs he's had or who knows what kind of just shady shit.
And he just does it out of personal kindness.
He just likes Trump.
He just pays $130,000, takes out another mortgage on his home to pay off Trump's old affairs.
Because that's the homie.
Yeah.
So
this is a big deal one way or another. Like, whether you're a conservative and think Mueller's finally done it because he got them to do this raid, which is inevitably going to find some shit because this is, you know, this is Trump's body man, like you were saying.
Well, right. And to even get a warrant, right, means that the DOJ and FBI were like, okay, well, let's see. Do we believe that there's evidence of a crime in here?
Right.
Yes. Do we believe that subpoenaing these things will be fruitless because we don't think this person will be upfront with us? They said yes. Then they went to a judge and were like, hi, we would like to bust this fucking door down and find all the receipts in there because we think there are wild receipts. And the judge looked at their evidence and clearly, because it's not to raid a lawyer's office, especially when it's the president's lawyer, no one wants to sign off on that warrant unless they know, like, you don't want to have egg on your face after that. So they did. And clearly they felt that whatever would turn up in that thing would, you know, somehow be evidence of a crime.
Right.
Now, a lot of people want to talk about attorney-client privilege, especially Donald Trump. But there is a thing called the crime fraud exception, which means if you're using your lawyer to shield yourself from a crime or an ongoing crime, then that shit is null because a lawyer is not a superhero who can just hide you from the law.
I mean, this is some Saul Goodman shit, right? This is like shady lawyer. I mean, it really, the
level.
But
Saul probably wouldn't have got him in this situation.
Oh, no, Saul would have got, well, this would never be happening with Saul. Saul would never allow this to happen.
Yeah.
No, it's the level of kind of classic cartoony shadiness. It's like off the charts, right? Yeah. It's like a very specific kind of sleazy.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just representative of this entire organization, this Trump White House. You know what I mean? Like they move in weird ways. These are all men who are used to being above the law because of their privilege. You know, they don't operate within the law really. And they're having a real wake up call. They're like, wait, hold up. What the fuck? I thought we were good. Like we don't have to abide by the law. What?
When Trump had his come up and, you know, had this whole groundswell of support from, you know, right wing and conservative and white supremacists, I think people kind of forgot about the old Trump, which was this dude who had been doing illegal shit for his entire career. And then his way of solving that illegal shit was just suing people and tying it up in court.
Right.
Like, that's just how the dude operates. So they're going to find something. And, you know, the thing that I'm hearing from conservatives is just like, this is a bad precedent because you are creating the basis for this raid from a special prosecutor's investigation. And, you know, what if this just becomes a back and forth because we're now so divided that, you know, now when a Democrat comes into office, suddenly there's going to be a special prosecutor looking into, you know, their lawyers' shit.
Right.
But any reaction right now seems like it is too premature because we don't know what this Trump donor who maxed out his donations to Trump and is a Trump appointee, we don't know what he saw and was like, get the fuck in there, because this guy could easily, like, you know, destroy the evidence.
Yeah.
Like, and would.
Right, like, for sure.
So, you know, we don't know that yet. So I do feel like either way, it's very premature. We just know that this looks bad.
It looks like
they saw some ill shit.
Yeah, and when you think about what Michael Cohen's position is in the squad, he's the Ray Donovan. You know what I mean? Like, he's the dude, the fucking wolf. He's Harvey Keitel. Like, yo, I fucked up, bro. You got to help. I'm
the
in a bind.
Nah, man. The wolf gives him too much credit. Way too much.
Say,
the wolf would not
the
get.
Yeah, okay,
the wolf
right.
would not get on CNN and like start threatening people.
He's not
going
to pull up in
you
the
know, lose his mind
in the Honda NSX, the wannabe Lamborghini, like the wolf did. I'm pretty sure those cars drive. Anyway, but yes, you know what I mean. Like, he's like the guy who helps you out of everything. So of course, there is probably going to be shit even there that like has nothing to do with maybe even the kinds of things they were looking for in this warrant, and be like, whoa.
Yeah, that's the thing I can't stop thinking about is the scandals that are on our radar, fine. What are the scandals that we don't even know about?
Right.
Yeah.
So that's just the very beginning of this story. We're going to take a break and then we're going to come back and look at Trump's response and other deeper issues going on here. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Juan Gabriel.
Juanquis.
Selena.
Selena.
Celia Cruz.
Azúcar.
Karol G.
La Bichota.
Christina Aguilera.
Ex-Tina.
Just to name a few.
We're serving the whole story.
From rags to riches.
And all the tea in between.
I'm Liliana Vasquez.
And I'm Joseph Carrillo.
And we're the host of Becoming an Icon Season 2.
Guess who's back in the house?
And we're bringing you even more stories behind the world's biggest stars in Latin music.
Certified Latin royalty.
Consider us your star sleuths, your chisme besties, digging beneath los mejores éxitos to bring you everything you didn't know about your favorite Latin icons.
Hey, you know what, my boo? You're my favorite icon.
Aw, Joseph!
Listen to Becoming an Icon, part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And so just real quick, I wanted to give a nod to a podcast that I always listen to because they reached a new height this morning. So the New York Times podcast, The Daily, which, yes, you would think because it only has two of the words of our title that it's a lesser podcast, and you would be correct. But so
somehow they're number one. I don't
right.
know.
You know what I mean? Who the fuck knows?
We might have to look into that. Yeah. There might be some Russian interference. I don't know.
Almost definitely. But anyways, I want to play a piece where they're talking about sort of what Mueller might have been thinking, because the idea is that, like Miles said, he kicked this case to the FBI. He had, for some reason, some suspicion that the FBI would be receptive to evidence against Trump. I don't know why. But the real story here is, so Michael Barbaro has this vocal effect that he likes to affect during interviews, where he sounds like he's having a quiet orgasm whenever somebody says something, and it's not really clear what he's reacting to ever sometimes. It's just Miles just did it. But we just reached a new high, the new land speed record for Michael Barbaro.
There used to be a little but he took it. He's
quiet orgasms.
And that's right, shots were fired here.
All right, let's listen to the interview.
There's suspicion that what this really is an overreach by Mueller. The suspicion is that Mueller says, well, this is totally not part of my mandate. But if I kick this to Southern District of New York prosecutors and they get a search warrant, well, then if they come up with anything really good, they can always just kick it my way. Which can. And so there's real suspicion.
He definitely just
That was like 10 seconds.
But he's doing like, what I think a lot of journalists who do phone interviews do to make it sound like you're engaged.
Yeah.
Because when my mom, like she's a journalist, I grew up listening to her just doing interviews on the phone.
Does she do that when you talk?
No, because she's not listening.
Not even pretending to listen.
She's like, what? She's like, whoa, how the fuck did you get in here? I'm like,
all right.
I need my dishes washed. Anyway,
so less important things. How did the president respond to this raid?
Yeah, you took some time out just to clap back at Michael Barbaro.
Okay. Clapping back at him.
Or clapping
at
him.
Is this
clapping
a feud you guys have?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like this is how podcasts, we're using the hip-hop method of taking shots at bigger podcasts. So they'd be like, hey, have you guys heard of this shit?
Allegedly bigger podcast.
I think verifiably based on the charts, but you know.
And it's such an ill-advised one because there's absolutely no way they will ever clap back.
It's a one-sided feud.
Because they're
Anna
cowards, right? The New York Times, a bunch of cowards.
They're not really the kind
of
cowards.
For sure.
See me, Maggie Haberman.
Maggie Haberman, by the way, tweeted this morning, this is the maddest she's ever seen the president. I feel like that's been a tweet that she's like sent out like 10 times far just this year.
It's the same thing as like when Megan Amram every day tweets out, today was the day Donald Trump finally became the president.
Yeah. No, but she's serious. She's like, well, this is really the maddest. And he's always just at a low to middle of the road boil. Like, right. And so it just must be a fucking nightmare behind the scenes right now. But anyways, yesterday he put a non-torn jacket on and sat down with different military leaders to talk about Syria. And then immediately...
then people started asking questions
right.
out loud to
and
him.
He did a little bit of Trump jazz. Let's listen.
So I just heard that they broke into the office of...
Didn't raid.
One of
legally.
My personal attorneys... Good man, and
also a
disgraceful
lie.
Situation. It's a total witch hunt. I've been saying it for a long time. I've wanted
witches
to
were innocent.
Keep it down. We've given, I believe, over a million pages worth of documents to the special counsel. They continue to just go forward, and here we are talking about Syria. We're talking about a lot of serious things with the greatest fighting force ever, and I have this witch hunt constantly going on for over 12 months now, and actually much more than that. You could say it was right after I won the nomination it started. This is the most biased group of people. These people have the biggest conflicts of interest I've ever seen. Democrats, all, or just about all, either Democrats or a couple of Republicans that worked for President Obama. They're not looking at the other side. They're not looking at the Hillary Clinton horrible things that she did and all of the crimes that were committed. The Attorney General made a terrible mistake when he did this and when he recused himself, or he should have certainly let us know if he was going to recuse himself, and we would have put a different Attorney General in. So he made what I consider to be a very terrible mistake for the country.
It's just like a greatest hit.
But you'll figure that out.
He didn't say the wall yet.
Why don't I just fire Mueller?
Why don't I just...
Well, I think it's a disgrace what's going on. We'll see what happens. But I think it's really a sad situation when you look at what happened. And many people have said you should fire him. Again, they found nothing. One of the things I said, I fired Comey. Well, I turned out to do the right thing, because you look at all of the things that he's done and the lies, and you look at what's gone on at the FBI with the insurance policy and all of the things that happened. Turned out I did the right thing.
All right, Spike Lee. I don't think you did, bro. You did not do the right thing.
I'm seeing with him where the moment that a claim that he has made becomes verifiably untrue, he says, see, I told you so, and remakes the claim. Because so during the quote caravan story last week, he was like, and you know, they're saying that there's rapes unlike they've ever seen anywhere, just all right. The rapes. And people are like, no, this is actually like more like a religious pilgrimage, and you're just totally mischaracterizing what this group is like. And he was like, see, I told you it was rapist. And then now, at a moment when it becomes clear that it can't be a witch hunt because this got approved by a bunch
many
of people
levels.
Who aren't involved at all in the thing that you've been calling a witch hunt, some of them appointed by you, people who would absolutely not risk something that didn't have evidence behind it. Like, it's now undeniable. It's not a witch hunt. He's like, see, like I said, witch hunt. I've been saying witch hunt. It's just
right. Like, no, they have evidence. They think they have evidence to do something.
He clearly has a very specific, tiny trickle of information coming from him from some sources that, you know, are not the sources. Even like if you only focus on Fox News, you're not that deluded. But I think it's a combination of only Fox and Friends and all the yes men.
And also being gaslit by being a wealthy white man.
Yes. Right.
Because he's never actually interacted with the legal system
right.
in a real meaningful way, because he's always been able to use like sneaky lawyers and like just dark shit to get his, just to achieve what he wants.
Yeah, right. He's been finessing shit forever. I also think when you listen to that clip, there are so many things that I think are specifically designed to sort of be like signals to his followers and his supporters. Things like calling out Hillary Clinton and Obama, yes. You know, making himself sound like this victim, like poor Donald Trump has been victimized since he won the nomination by Hillary Clinton and Obama. Like, people who have a very baseline understanding of what's happening will hear that and be like, yeah, he is the victim. Poor Donald Trump.
Right.
Not like, let him live. And I think he's just doing this, because anyone who has even a surface level understanding of what's going on knows it's not an unfair witch hunt, knows that, like you were saying, a judge would not sign off on this if there wasn't something there.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, fuck
there.
Donald Trump. Yeah. He fucked me on a condo deal 20 years ago. Like, go do whatever the fuck you want. Like, no.
That's not how it works.
You're a judge. You're a federal judge. Like, or a magistrate, whoever it was. They're there to uphold the law. And they were like, yes, this clearly looks like something that needs to be looked into further. Not some, you know, some fantasy shit. But again, we can't hang all our hopes on all of this. Right. You know what I mean? We'll see what happens.
Right. Just from a strategic perspective, 2 points. One, he really shouldn't have picked a fight with the intelligence community on the first day in office. He shouldn't have gone and just talked open shit about the intelligence community and the FBI. And second of all, so I do just want to go back to Bridget, what you were saying about how him going to the red meat Hillary Obama. So that is the one thing about this that scares me, is if he survives this, I have no doubt that he is going to, like my conservative friend was saying, find a way to get a special prosecutor together and go after Hillary and Obama, like find ways to like create trumped up charges. Like, and that is scary about this, is like, this does create a precedent that, you know, yes, in one way, this can be viewed as, okay, they did Ken Starr and that was insane. So now Mueller is doing this, but I get the feeling that it's not going to be a thing where, okay, we got Mueller and now we're even. I think it's going to be a thing where they're like, oh, yeah, you want to see a fucking special prosecutor?
But I think the
prosecutor?
Difference is the Mueller investigation is legitimate. So for there to be an illegitimate investigation, you would have to staff up the DOJ with a lot of fucking hacks.
Right.
And I think that would be a process, because I don't know how many people are going to be like, you want me to pretend that I'm investigating quote-unquote crimes that you've shown me? Like, that's going to be tough. Because, and I think that's another reason why even lawyers don't fuck with Donald Trump in general. Like, he has gone so far down the pecking order of the, in terms of quality of legal representation that, his best guy is a dude who like screams curses like through the phone and like threatens people with physical violence.
Right.
Like,
I think it's clear. And also, I think it's clear that anybody who gets in bed with Trump, he will throw you under the bus very quickly. Yeah. And I think people see this and say like, getting in bed with this guy is a bad idea for me personally. And I think that he's going to have a hard time finding people who will put their necks out for him.
I mean, think about every time a person has tried to be the good partisan guy and toe the line or do whatever Trump says, they get fucking obliterated and they retreat. Yeah. And they're like, yo, I'm not doing that again. Like, people, they fuck around once and they realize what the backlash is and they're like, bro, I can't. Like, John Kelly, like, I mean, he's disgusting anyway, but he has shut the fuck up since all that shit went down, like, over the summer. So it's a tough spot because you're defending someone that's indefensible.
Yeah, but if you view Trump as a symptom of a political party or a political landscape that is getting more and more polarized, and, you know, once he goes away, you still have this completely polarized landscape, then that's where something like precedent and, you know, one side doing something becomes a little bit dangerous. Or could become a little
dangerous. Because when Ken Starr switched from land deal to looking at dresses with semen stains on it, they were like, yeah, this is great. Love this.
Yeah, they loved it. They loved it.
They were certainly all about it. And at the same time, at the end of that, the American people decided, we don't give a shit. Like, enough.
Right. These are different things.
Well, and if there's nothing here and they're still, like, you know, grasping at straws in another year, then the American people are probably going to be like, fuck off, like enough. But I just, you know, we'll see. And I definitely don't think we're at that point now where they're going to be like, yeah, fire him, man. There's nothing here. You know?
So do you think this is going to be the thing that takes him down or no? You're like, neither of you seem optimistic.
I don't know.
To me, the underhandedness gets more and more dark. You know what I mean? And the lengths they'll go to survive. There's no telling what this man will do. And I don't know if at this point Donald Trump is more worried, like in terms of an existential standpoint, if he's more worried about being president or maybe people find out that he's fucking broke. You know what I mean? Because there might be the fucking tax returns might be at Michael Cohen's
office.
Oh, yeah,
we never got those.
You know what I mean? So who knows what the fuck, you know what I mean? I don't know what his fear is right now. He could be like, yeah, fine, like me and Putin, yeah, we just kick it at the hotel, get peed on. He's like, but I am worth $10 billion. Like, fuck that.
That probably is true. That would be his
name. Well, in the Daily Beast,
if he got peed on with Putin, he would want that to come out.
Yeah. He's like, well, we were together.
Holding hands.
Manly dudes. You know, this is what bros do. We hold hands and get peed on. You know what I mean? But like in the Daily Beast, this guy was writing about another like New York hedge fund manager, like in the circles of like the finance world of New York. They're like, dude, Trump's just a joker living on credit. Mm. Like he ain't got the money.
Oh, yeah. No,
and so when everyone knows that, that makes, you know what I mean? Like, it's like going to the club with all fake gear on. You know what I mean? Like, you got that Louis Vuitton coat on.
I hate that feeling.
Yeah, you know what I mean? When you got that Canal Street Louis Vuitton bag.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
Jack, you've been there. I can tell.
You've been there. Oh, man. I've been there.
The worst.
When I was wearing my denim jacket with a rip in it, it had Gucci coming through. I had to make that fake. Anyway, so, but the bottom line is you're already operating from a sense of deep insecurity because you're like, I'm getting over on these people. And now that it's possible, again, we don't know what is in there. We don't know.
We just don't know.
Yeah. But so who knows? It could be great. I guess the one thing that you can look at objectively is you wouldn't get a search warrant signed off on if there wasn't a tremendous amount of evidence
smoke.
Or something to be like, yes, yeah. There is probable cause.
Right.
Yeah. So we can at least let that keep us warm at night.
And I have reason to believe you're right that he's not worth as much money, because when I worked at ABC, we had a whole investigative story about the fact that he wasn't worth shit and was like just putting all this out there as a, you know, just to become like the monopoly man of the modern world. And he threatened the ABC investigative team with all these lawsuits until they, like, the story that ended up coming out was so toothless because they didn't want to risk it.
It just
was
like, Donald Trump has some money.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
thank you, the
end. And then,
good
like,
story.
They were able to point to the fact that he always threatens lawsuits because that's what he was doing in this case. But that was about it.
But now you're coming up against the best legal like minds, not legal minds, but you know, some of the best attorneys in the country are now looking at, you know, fucking parking lot pimping Michael Cohen, who's not really worth a shit as a lawyer. Right. So it's a mismatch.
Right.
Just, and even to be underlined, look at when his own personal attorney was going on taking crazy L's against Michael Avenatti, Stormy Daniels' lawyer, repeatedly on CNN, like looking like a joke, because these guys, they're like clown lawyers.
They're jokers.
Yeah.
Clown lawyers. All right. Real quick, I did want to touch on the thing that press conference was supposed to be about, the Syria conflict, because so listening to super producer Anna Hosnier and Shireen Yunez's podcast, Ethnically Ambiguous, I have been kind of getting a better feel for what's going on in Syria, and just a couple things I wanted to share with you guys that helped put the whole Syrian conflict into perspective. So something that I'm just learning, and I think a lot of people knew this, was that this all started with the Arab Spring and sort of the democratic uprising in the Middle East. And basically, that helped me make sense of the fact that Russia is so on board with the Syrian government side as opposed to the rebels, because Russia is always on the side against democracy, essentially. Mm-hmm. And because
of shutting shit down.
Right. And because their spring was about like democratic uprising, they are, you know, going to support the Syrian government and any other government that is, you know, on the side of being authoritarian.
Because you don't want your kids getting ideas.
Right. And Iran also fits into that rubric. You know, they are not in favor of Western democracies. And then there's also the fact that, so Syria is mostly Sunni, and they are run by a dictator who's secular. But, you know, Iran is mostly Shia. And so there's that kind of inherent conflict.
Built-in conflict, yeah.
Right. And that helped me make sense of, I guess, just where we are in the conflict. So, you know, America is technically on the side of the rebels, and the, you know, 90% of Syria is Sunni. They are run by a dictator who is, you know, secular, like I said. So America is supposed to be supporting the people and the rebellion, and but they haven't totally full-throatedly supported them. And Saudi Arabia, who is also Sunni, has been sort of standing on the sidelines a little bit, not really supporting because they're taking America's lead. So that also put the rise of Mohammed bin Salman in context, because, like, why he's important, because he is sort of on the American side if you're looking at things like around this conflict.
Right.
So, yeah, that helped make sense of it to me. We have a piece from one of our writers that we won't have time to get into about how the military sort of freaked out about Russia's cyber powers because they're apparently just like taking drones out of the sky with cyber attacks.
Yeah, their drone jamming capability is pretty good. And
pretty
there are people in the U.S. military like, yeah, how did they fucking figure that out?
Right.
Because apparently the drones that the U.S. is using like have built-in sort of like anti-scrambling mechanisms, and, you know, they're running on different, I guess, frequencies. Look, I'm not a fucking dronologist, right. But, you know, like they have a lot of built-in countermeasures to sort of counteract these kinds of things, and they're like somehow Russia cracked it.
Right.
But not the armed drones, like the Predator and right. Reaper drones that have guns, like that are armed. Those have not been scrammed.
Jammed, yeah.
Like they haven't been able to jam those.
Right.
Can I say something about the whole thing?
Yes.
Which is that I think that listening to you break down sort of an overview, I think highlights one of my big issues with the whole Syria conversation, which is that I think your average American person doesn't know the ins and outs of the situation. Like, certainly I am not an expert on Syria. And it's one of those things that I feel like people don't really know that much about. So they're just sort of tuning out. And it's it's very, I mean, like, we could be doing, you know, like scaling up military intervention in Syria. And I think people are like, oh, I don't really know. And
is that good?
I'm
going to
know, like,
bad?
What? Where is that? Like,
right.
And I think that people are not paying attention to it because it projects as like a very complex issue. And it is. And it worries me that it's not a conversation that like average folks are having, because who is that going to impact? Like the American people, right? Like if they're sending troops over, like that's going to be us. And I think that we're not even really checked in on that conversation.
Yeah.
Well, and what the stakeholders want in this situation, right? Because I think on one hand, with the U.S. retreating, that has emboldened, like, clearly this triumvirate of Russia, Turkey, and Iran to kind of come together and be like, oh, looks like the U.S. is taking a back seat, so we can dictate sort of what the future is going to be in this region.
Right.
And that also is kind of weird because the U.S. doesn't want to draw red lines and then not follow up on them, because then that makes Trump look toothless.
Right.
And he's up against that too. There's so many. It's like he's got his back against the wall. Like, you know, like, and also, you know, he wanted to pull out, but then
and
clearly
he
there's
said that, which was not a good idea. John McCain was like, yo, this is why you don't say we're planning to pull out before you do it.
Right, exactly. And then look what happens. And, you know, Israel has been like, apparently over the weekend, you know, Israel struck an airbase and no one still quite knows why.
Mm-hmm.
Like when they have had airstrikes in Syria, it's typically to like intercept shipments of like Iranian weapons to Hezbollah. And that's why they've had, but people are still kind of confused and they haven't officially said so. There's so many moving parts. And yes, again, if we do enter another armed conflict, like, and we actually put boots on the ground, like in a really, really focused, concentrated effort to hit back at Assad's military capability and his forces, that's like not insignificant.
Right.
No, and this is like has the feel of like a world war type thing where like all the different sides are sort of aligning. And, you know, everything that other side stands for, you know, like you said, Turkey has traditionally been a U.S. ally, but now they have a dictator in charge. And so they are suddenly, you know, trending toward the side of Russia and dictatorships and military control in Iran. So,
well, because the more and more Turkey fucks around and, you know, commits more human rights violations, that's usually when the U.S. starts to give them static and they're like, bro, you can't do this. Like, come on, we have bases there. You can't just be violating people's human rights. And the more that they do that, that's just been, you know, deteriorating our relationship with Turkey and sort of putting them closer into the Iran-Russia party, because they're like, oh, we kind of like how you move. And they're kind of strange bedfellows, too. Like, historically, they've, you know, Russia and Turkey have been enemies.
Yeah.
But anyway.
And
I
then,
think,
sorry, and then super producer Anna Hosni just pointed out that ISIS also entered the fray not
the
too
ISIS
long
drop.
Ago. Got the ISIS drop. Not too long ago, completely complicating an already insanely complicated situation, because they're not necessarily on either side, but then...
They're filling a power vacuum.
Right. And I think there are some people, like I think Syrian forces don't necessarily kill ISIS fighters, like they're not actively targeting them. So it's a very complicated situation, but it's one that started making sense to me when I learned the facts that I just tried to share there. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. Trump said that, you know, because of this chemical weapon attack over the weekend, there will be a response from America and France coming in the next 24 to 48 hours. So we'll be keeping an eye on that with the rest of the world. And we're going to take another quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zai Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where First-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring the Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today, and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Juan Gabriel.
Juanquis.
Selena.
Selena.
Celia Cruz.
Azúcar.
Carol G.
La Bichota.
Christina Aguilera.
Ex-Tina.
Just to name a few.
We're serving the whole story.
From rags to riches.
And all the tea in between.
I'm Liliana Vasquez.
And I'm Joseph Carrillo.
And we're the host of Becoming an Icon Season 2.
Guess who's back in the house?
And we're bringing you even more stories behind the world's biggest stars in Latin music.
Certified Latin royalty.
Consider us your star sleuths, your chisme besties, digging beneath los mejores éxitos to bring you everything you didn't know about your favorite Latin icons.
Hey, you know what, my boo? You're my favorite icon.
Aw, Joseph!
Listen to Becoming an Icon, part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And yeah, like we said up top, it is a fast news day. There's also what would be like a number one story happening right now with Mark Zuckerberg. Marky Zucky Babies is testifying today.
Motherfuckerberg.
Yeah, in front of Congress. Apparently not under oath. And there were a lot of people pointing out that, a lot of these politicians who he's testifying in front of are people who... you know, Facebook has contributed to, and also, you know, politicians who own a shitload of Facebook stock. So that's something that's interesting.
He's in a tough spot.
He is convincing, in a tough spot.
You know how, like, old people are already suspicious of Facebook?
Right.
Yes.
Add to that that they know about Cambridge Analytica, and now they're going to grill the dude who runs Facebook?
Right.
I don't know. Like, I feel like that's a...
I don't know,
envy him.
I don't know how productive it's going to be because of the, you know... greasy handed grasp that these type of politicians tend to have on technology.
Oh God, yes. I mean, nothing makes me cringe more than watching old white politicians who someone else completely runs their social media, like,
right,
they've never touched it,
right,
try to deal with this stuff, you,
yeah,
know?
So we'll see. I think he's speaking right now, but I'm sure that will be, you know, continue to stay in the news.
I mean, hopefully they just come out with it and they're like, oh, we need to regulate the shit out of this thing.
Right.
I'm sorry, bro.
That is sort of the idea.
You can't just package up our fucking, like, all of our data and,
right,
ship it off to them.
That is going to be a decision that is a big deal. You know, it's Facebook stock is going to take a huge hit if they do announce regulations.
I would see after this, if Nancy Pelosi sells off her Facebook stock, I would take that as indication of something going to happen.
Go.
She dumps her $500,000 worth of Facebook stock.
All right. And then there's just a lot of other, fun shit happening. TJ Miller arrested for a bomb threat. Dude is just crazy, losing it. He was arrested at LaGuardia for a threat made like back on March 18th.
Yeah.
He was audibly slurring to the people who arrested him.
The detective's like, hey, you have anything to drink tonight, pal?
He only had one glass of red wine.
Yeah. His response is, yeah, I had one glass of red wine. Okay. The classic drunk parent response. Right.
I have definitely used that one.
Yeah. Wait, what do you mean? That's a glass of red wine.
It's heart healthy.
You're talking about, look on the internet, doctors say you just have a glass of red wine.
You try it, Pat.
Yeah, anyway, she just had a bomb in her bag, bro. Fucking do something.
There's nothing funnier than listening to a drunk person insist they're not drunk while they're drunk. Yeah, it's hilarious. Right.
And then accuse someone else of having a bomb.
Right.
You can't win, come on, TJ.
Funny for about 10 seconds and then completely exhausting because they will keep doing it.
Right.
Cardi B is on Fallon this whole week. And
love
I don't
her.
Know, man.
I love her.
I have
love
a lot
her.
To say about this.
I love her. I'm not a fan
of
Fallon.
Guys, can we just cut the shit? It's gross. Yeah. People treat her like she's not a woman.
Exactly.
People treat her like she's a goddamn animal in a zoo.
Right.
They fawn all over her in this way that seems so disingenuous. I love Cardi B, but
people have the wrong love for her. Some
people have
the wrong,
a love for her that feels very icky to me.
It looks like Pocahontas coming back from the New World in England, basically, where Jimmy Fallon is like, now, how do you say ow? Like, that whole thing yesterday was like, and is that how they talk in the Bronx kind of thing? Like, it's sort of like, take me through your minority world. You know what I mean?
It is. That's completely gross. And I think it grosses me out. And I love Cardi B. And nobody is more happy that she is, like, getting her come up than me. Like, I love her.
Get that check also.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Like, I love her. And I'm so happy that she is making a name for herself and that she's here to stay. I love her. Shout out to her all day. But I think that we should be able to talk about the way that people often will pick a woman of color and just be real weird to her on TV.
Right.
And they'll be like, oh, isn't she ethnic, people? You know,
like Tiffany Haddish. The
exactly,
same thing.
Exactly. Like,
they're like, she's so hood.
Right, exactly.
Like, yo, don't talk like that.
And it grosses me out. And it feels like we're not allowed to talk about it. And
no, then that's why we brought it up.
Yeah.
Because precisely when we were watching it, I was like, I love Cardi, but I don't like this Jimmy Fallon being like, and this week's oddity, you know, from the urban landscape is Cardi B.
It's becoming increasingly weird that we have all these late night shows that are hosted by like identical, you know, middle-aged white dudes who
that run SNL?
In suits.
That look like you, Jack?
Yeah, exactly.
They're not wearing a nice vintage Guns N' Roses team,
right,
though.
Exactly.
That's true. Okay.
But they... yeah, it's just, like, crazy. Like, give Tiffany Haddish a late-night show. Don't, like, have her on and, like, okay, now Jimmy Fallon is, you know, amused by her. And now Stephen Colbert is. I don't know.
They go through, like, this revolving door. It's like a they're doing this, like, weird circuit. And honestly, I mean, I've seen this so many times. If Tiffany or Cardi does something that's like too black or too hood, people are going to, like, turn on her so quickly. Like, I've seen this a million times. And it just is, it's just this weird thing of how our culture sort of consumes and then is also repulsed by.
And even among people of color, there sparks debate of like, you know, there are people who have these opinions like, well, I don't think Tiffany Haddish is representing the people.
Right.
Or Cardi B is not representing. Like, yo, come that's so much more than just like this one person is acting how you believe to be out of pocket. So you think that's. Says something about every person.
Absolutely. I did love that earlier this week, someone was kind of giving her static about her, announcing her pregnancy, and she had the best response. She was like, how do I put this in a way that's humble? I'm a millionaire. I'll be fine, which I did love. It's like, yes, thank
Let
you, Cardi.
Know. Let them know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen The Wedding Ring? Okay. It's worth more than all of our lives combined in here.
And she's very smart, and like for people to be like, yeah, how would you say this? And like, what does that sound mean? Is just.
Yeah, like she has more to offer than her otherness and her slang of her vernacular.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like she's a very interesting person. She has a very interesting life. She's very intelligent. You know, like again, maybe, and who knows, maybe tonight they'll delve into the more intellectual side of Cardi B. Or he'll be like, what's a krill?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that he's going to treat her like a walking rapgenius.com and be like, right. Explain this to me. How would you say this? How would you say that? Right. What does this mean?
And I think that's what he did last night, too, wasn't it? What was he like? When would you say, or like, you know, something like this?
Right.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Should have just let Cardi host. Yes. How about that?
That's
seriously,
I mean, honestly,
just give her a fucking show.
Yeah, don't be like, and I will be here to supervise.
Let Jimmy Fallon come exist in her world, and like that that would at least be more entertaining.
Go to the Bronx.
That'd be
like,
a better show.
She would be authentically uncomfortable instead of like cute Jimmy Fallon uncomfortable.
I would die to see that.
Just have Diaz Mero and Cardi B
the
super triumvirate of the Bronx.
I'm telling you, like,
that's the next iteration of these talk shows.
Give Desus and Mero a fucking late night show.
Give
them a couch. It will do better than any of the other late
number
night
one
shows.
Show in late night.
It will crush.
No, but like they say that jokingly, it would do better than any other show in late night.
Oh yeah, oh
like,
yeah,
like for sure,
hands like, down.
Gang gang,
you're turning down money, entertainment industry.
But again, I mean, it's like those things. Like there are certain frontiers that still haven't been, you know, forged. You know, we haven't explored them fully. Yeah. Like only now they're being like, oh, I guess Black Panther did
right.
Did but you know Negroes enjoy spending money on movies?
Wow. Oh, okay. Well, I guess they buy consumer goods too.
But Black doesn't travel. You can't open a Black movie
the
over
studios.
Yeah, guys.
That was a quote from a studio guy.
Oh,
was like,
Jesus
Black
Christ.
Black doesn't travel. And yeah.
And
Black
again, Panther, that's the other thing too. Is like, you know, well, Jimmy Fallon's ratings have been shit ever since he tussled old Trump.
Yes.
Sack's hair.
Yo,
on TV.
He is. He like I used to work at NBC, so this is like me calling in former family. I will never get over that.
Yeah.
He had a role to play in making Trump this cute, cuddly guy.
Like
you know,
he wasn't a dangerous.
Bring him on TV. Yeah, like he wasn't
racist.
A fucking someone spouting dangerous racist nonsense.
Yeah.
And let's not forget SNL. Let him host. All right, Sports Corner.
Sports Corner.
That was aggressive.
Thank you.
I think it can be cute.
Oh.
So Croner.
Sports Corner.
There you go.
That's the Japanese version, anime style. And it's not problematic because I'm Japanese.
Okay.
Before y'all comment.
Conor McGregor had just a like bizarrely prolonged freak out that reminded me of the scene in Royal Tenenbaums where Luke Wilson like takes off his shoe and like one of his socks and like hits the ball underhanded and just like kind of, it's like an hour long just meltdown because you like see him and he like runs up to the bus and like hits it and then like throws something into the window, but then like keeps running after it. It's just like, how can you be like that temporarily insane for that long?
Yeah, so he attacked the bus out of a guy he was fighting in it?
Yeah, I guess. I don't even know the story. It's just
a fucking
insane
metal
piece of video.
Like a dolly through the window, and like one of the guys got cut up from all the fucking glass. And then like another guy in his entourage like half-assed through a folding chair at it.
Was he like, Connor, did you see me?
It was
did you see me, Connor?
Yeah, he was like, hey, bro, I'm gang gang. You saw that?
A folding chair at a bus.
I half-assed a folding chair like at the side of the door. You know, I don't want to cause too much damage because, you know, I am living off of your kind donations as being part of your entourage.
Right.
So who knows? But yeah, I guess he's not. Like Dana White was kind of fucking angry. Well, not kind of, was like, yo, this is not acceptable. And I don't know what the fuck is happening with him. Did he get fired from UFC?
He got his belt stripped.
Whoa.
Oh, right.
That surprises me.
Yeah. So, I mean, good for them. I mean, because I think at the end of the day, they actually know it's kind of bad for their brand. I don't know. I kind of.
But I don't know. I mean, I feel like his whole brand is being out of pocket, right? Like,
right.
That's part of who
but
he
I think,
is.
But I think UFC probably doesn't want, like, yeah, we don't need to. Like, I think they already have to get over, like, the perception obstacles of being like, all these people are out of their mind aggro psychopaths.
I mean, my first thought when I saw the video was, oh, this is set up by UFC because it looks like a wrestling, like, backstage
fight.
Like, it's like, why is the camera there?
Why
is
the
this camera
dock?
Getting all this? Like, but UFC said it wasn't, so I'm going to take them at their word.
And it's clear, a bystander, the way the dude after was like, dude, I got it all on video. Yes, he's doing it. So definitely has that world star feel of, like, this was raw video.
And then the only other sports story that's crossing over that I want to talk about, obviously the Philadelphia 76ers is also a big deal, but I'm not going to jinx that by bringing
that up. Pat the back, Jack.
Yeah, Sixers fans. But they need to win two more games to get the 3 seed. But unfortunately, speaking of other podcasts, the Bill Simmons podcast officially jinxed them. Simmons was like, yeah, and they're a shoo-in for the 3 seed, and I'm going to put money on them to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, and literally every team that he puts money on. Like,
oh, it's a death kiss?
Yeah, it's a kiss of death.
It's the Madden cover?
Yeah, it's basically the Madden cover of the podcast.
You don't want
world.
That cosign.
And they're also assuming that the Sixers are going to get the 3 seed. So the Cavs just need to beat the Knicks once, but the Sixers need to beat Atlanta, who's been coming on lately, and the Bucks. So the Sixers need to win two games. The Cavs need to win one, and
well,
they're playing
you sound
a worse
like
game.
A pretty relaxed fan. So
yeah,
I think everything.
No, I'm well. Also like the. This is how I deal with rooting for teams my dad works for. Is I am eternally and aggressively pessimistic until something good happens.
Hey, just trust the process.
But I wanted to,
trust the process.
The other story crossing over that I wanted to talk about is Ohtani.
Shohei.
Because, fucking wild story, this dude. So for the first time since Babe Ruth, somebody is both pitching and hitting and like crushing it. He hit home runs in three straight games over the weekend and then threw seven innings of a perfect game.
Yeah.
And actually, I wanted to give you guys a glimpse of Mike and the Mad Dog.
What the fuck is that?
It's just a sports radio talk show. You know, if you listen to Desus and Mero, you've heard, his impression.
First time, long time.
Mike. Yeah. So.
Oh, that guy?
Yeah.
When he's always like, I'm going to get Malbec from Stu Leonard's.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, he's just like this famous sports talk radio guy who, you know, is, he came on the Bill Simmons podcast, at the end, his contract was up. So he was able to come on the Simmons podcast for a couple episodes and was just this, like, I don't know, man, so confident in his takes. And then the next week would just equally confidently explain why he was wrong, but why he was secretly right the whole time. So anyways, but he totally gets Ohtani right here. Let's listen to his take.
Probably wouldn't have been here. The question is he going to embarrass somebody? Is he going to be as bad as everyone says he's been?
Awful in spring training.
This is a guy who people were talking about being the greatest player in baseball. They have the best player in baseball on that team. They brought a guy in, and they were talking this guy up like crazy, and he hasn't produced anything yet. The Yankees are lucky they didn't get him.
And I tell you, the Angels are impossible. Even if they wanted to send him down to the minor leagues, how do you send him down to the minor leagues? It looked terrible. He's Babe Ruth. You can't do that.
You can't do it.
And you're going to have all the cameramen following him down to some minor league little town? So they almost had to put him on the team, for crying out loud.
He might not be Babe Ruth. That's the thing. You know, he doesn't even seem like he's a little bit of Babe Ruth.
So, an Oriental is going to be better than Babe Ruth? Right. No, get the fuck out of here,
bro. So I wanted to play that for a couple reasons. Obviously, because it's fun to laugh at people who are incredibly wrong. And they're talking about this because he had a bad spring training.
But here's the thing that people don't understand. Japanese players culturally do not give a fuck about spring training.
Yeah, why would you?
Because they're like, I already have a roster spot. I don't need to prove myself.
Right.
Let me just dial in some smaller shit. I'm not here to show out. Where, like, you know, the attitude of most players is like, got to let them know, get hot spring training, so give the people to get them excited a little bit. Where, like, Ichiro was never really that great in spring training. You know what I mean? And in the beginning, people were like, oh, this guy's going to be trash.
Yeah.
Cut to. He's still one of the greatest hitters of all time. So, and I think with Ohtani, they massively underestimated the fact that he was, like, I think carrying an injury a little bit during spring training. And also, his mentality wasn't such of, like, let me show the fuck out.
Right.
Because I'm Shohei, and I'm gonna show y'all how I do it for show. And he did it, and look how he's doing now. They're having to eat their words.
The Angels are 8-3. He, like I said, hit three home runs in three straight games and almost pitched a perfect game. He's pitched amazingly in both of his starts. And I also just wanted to bring this up because it highlights one of my favorite things on Twitter right now is at Old Takes Exposed. Do you know this guy?
No.
Freezing Cold Takes. he just retweets old takes of people.
Oh, shit.
I'm telling you, Desus and Mero need a late night show on NBC or CBS or ABC, and this dude needs his own cable channel, just his own cable news channel that is all
digging
him
up.
Just showing people be completely fucking wrong, because that is the thing that we never get to see when we watch cable news. We never get to see, like, you know, these people who are like confidently talking about what's happened in the stock market, and it's just completely wrong, like, all the time.
Like Larry Kudlow, who is our current
exactly.
Yeah, I had some takes on the 2016 election that did not age well.
No,
and they,
yeah,
they come back on my Facebook things. You remember?
Oh,
you know,
right.
A
year ago.
A year ago, I was on the Clinton campaign, very confidently thinking that we were going to win. I had already bought bottles of champagne, literally, for when it was called.
Did the Leon Lett, huh?
Yeah, it did not age well.
Run into the end zone with the football up in the air. You didn't see Don Beebe coming up behind you. Like, get the shit out of here, bro.
Yeah.
And then he did it again and dropped the ball before the end zone. Look. Anyways.
Deep-ass early 90s Super Bowl cuts for y'all.
Bridget, it's been Wonderful having you here. Not just on this show, but in the office.
Aww, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Need to come out to LA
y'all
more
are,
often.
Y'all are rays of LA sunshine.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate that.
Rays of sunshine.
Yeah. Rays of sunshine.
Thank you.
Bridget, where can people find you, follow you?
I am on Twitter at Bridget Marie. That's BRIDGETMARIE. I am on Instagram at Bridget Marie in DC. And you can hear me in your earbuds at Stuff I've Never Told You every Wednesday and Friday if you want that feminist flavor.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful podcast.
Right on this network.
Miles.
Strong. Such a strong network. Yeah. Mm.
The brand is strong.
I mean, the brand is getting stronger. But, you know, we haven't quite reached the, you know,
that level.
Bodega Hive levels. But, you know, we will get there. That's our North Star. Yes, guys, me, before I tell you where you can find me on social media, I want to let people know that I was actually on this podcast called New Player Has Joined, which is a very dope video games podcast. And I got to talk about one of my favorite video games of all time, Guitar Hero. So please check that out. I had a really wonderful time. And look, guys, if you like hearing my dumb voice, then just go listen to that. That is a New Player Has Join podcast. Check that out. Now, if you're looking for social media, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray.
You can find me at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the articles containing the information from today's episode and also the song that we ride out on. And today we're going to ride out on some Yoko Ono, recommended by Bridget Todd. Bridget, what are we going to ride out on?
My favorite Yoko Ono song is from her album, Yes, I'm a Witch. Great name. The song is just called Oh.
Okay, and can you tell us a little bit about the vibe before we go into it?
So I picked this song because people think of Yoko Ono, her music, as very aggressive and hard to listen to, and some of it is, but she also has very sweet, very pretty music. So I chose this specifically so that people could hear that side of her.
Because most people just think of her, like, screaming.
Yeah, and she does that, and she also shreds. Like, I love her screams.
Yeah.
So here we go.
We're going to ride out on that, and we'll be back tomorrow with more podcasts. Talk to you guys then.
Together, I never
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.